Hey everyone, it's Jasmine from Jasmine's Astrology, but you can call me Jay. And for today's episode, I'm going to chat about the astrology of August 27th through August 31st. But first things first, if you do enjoy the show, I would very much appreciate some love in the form of subscribing or leaving a review or telling a friend. All of these are super helpful and super free ways to support the show. And if you want to support my work further, you can always check out my website, jasminesastrology.com, for consultations and other astrology offerings. Now, before we dive into this week's forecast, I did want to say ahead of time that I'm actually not sure if I'm going to be doing these regular forecasts for September. I have kind of been feeling like maybe I want to go back to just talking about specific transits, kind of the more impactful transits or the stuff that maybe like nobody else is really talking about. I do kind of miss being able to dig a little bit deeper into one transit at a time, which I think people have probably noticed based on how long these episodes have been getting, because I just feel like I have so much to say about all the transits. So I don't know, I might be going back to that. I might be trying something entirely new. I'm not too certain yet. I just wanted to put it out there just in case I am not back at the beginning of September or, you know, end of August, whatever. In other news, I do have another podcast in the works that is astrology related, but not like fully focused on astrology. And I kind of just want to get some of those episodes recorded and ready to go for whenever that show is going to launch. So that might be something that I'm focused on in September. At any rate, no matter what I decide to do, I will check in on the more significant transits, or like I said, the ones that like nobody really seems to talk about, over on Instagram, at least until Libra season. Libra season is when I take a full rest because the sun is in my 12th house. That's a very like private, isolated, kind of working from behind the scenes house. So Libra season is more of a quiet season for me. But anyways, make sure you're following me on Instagram at Jasmine's Astrology. That is where I will definitely be keeping you up to speed with stuff. And I will update about the show as soon as I know. Final piece of news, business, housekeeping, whatever. I have been toying with the idea of creating some kind of membership community. And if I did do that, that full rundown of all the month's transits. And I would do like some meetups and maybe some streams and maybe some courses that are only available to members. So that's kind of also in the works. I would love to hear from all of you, you know, like, what are you interested in based on what I just shared? I'll probably put some polls on Instagram at some point. But anyway, wanted to keep you in the loop, wanted to keep you up to speed with all the happenings at Jasmine's Astrology HQ. But now it's time to chat about this final week of August, the first full week of Virgo season, of course. And I'm best week of the month. It's probably the bumpiest part of the month, to be honest. So let's dive right in carefully and find out why. So we'll kick things off August 27th, 4:30 a.m., when the sun in Virgo is opposing Saturn retrograde in Pisces at 3 degrees. This feels like an aspect that might slow the pace a little bit. The sun is in an earth sign, and yes, it's a mutable and movable earth sign, but it's got that grounding energy nonetheless, and it's being ruled by a retrograde planet, the sun in Virgo, of course, being ruled by Mercury. And Saturn itself is also retrograde, and it's being ruled by Jupiter in Taurus, which, as we've discussed before, is a very chill, more embodied and slow-moving placement. Saturn transits also just naturally sort of bring qualities of hesitation and caution. There can be delays with Saturn in the mix. So there's something about this that just reads as slowing down, taking your time. There could be some frustration with that, of course, right? Saturn can speak to feeling restricted and limited and boxed in. And so we might feel like we want to push forward, but we're hitting a wall of some sorts. We might be feeling the weight of everything a little more acutely right now, the pressure of all the obligations and responsibilities we have in life are just feeling more like a burden right now. And that might be a reality check that we've overcommitted ourselves, that we haven't been keeping up with our boundaries, we haven't exercised our right to say no. Or maybe we're not prioritizing in the best way possible, so we feel like we never have time for what really matters, what's really like lighting us up. But this heaviness, this feeling of restriction and pressure might also be a clue that the things we've committed to, the responsibilities we've taken on, are no longer in alignment with who we are. Maybe they never were, but now we can see that these situations don't allow us to be our full and whole selves. They actually limit our self-expression. And that realization could lead to some tough decision-making. Saturn can symbolize endings. And with Pisces being the last sign of the zodiac, there are definitely themes here of letting go and surrender. It's an energy of consolidation, streamlining, and simplifying. We're going to need to be really honest with ourselves about what's most important to the person we are at our very core and start to make peace with leaving anything that falls outside of that behind. Saturn also speaks to time and maturity. And what we might be discovering with this aspect is that we've outgrown certain things, relationships, projects, goals, whatever it might be. Both Saturn and the Sun can offer clarity. And it could be that the weightiness and pressure we're feeling is because we're still trying to carry these things that we've outgrown, and it's turned into dragging and pulling instead of simply carrying. In the short term, it wouldn't be surprising if all of this made for some feelings of insecurity and inadequacy. You know, even though we might be able to look back in a couple of days or weeks or months and realize like, yeah, letting go of that or saying no to this thing really was in my best interest for the long haul. But in the moment, it can feel like we're letting someone down or we're not good enough because we can't do this specific thing anymore, even though we used to be able to. And changes like that often bring anxiety and worry because change brings the unknown factor into things. So it's definitely a day to just kind of take it easy on yourself. You know, we will be putting work before play a little bit and kind of prioritizing long-term type things, but it's not a day to get down on yourself for that or to feel stressed because you realize that you just can't take on as much as you thought you could. Take it easy on yourself. There's going to be some tough decisions and conversations, and you might not feel great about it for a couple of days, but it's kind of like growing pains. They can't be avoided, but they do eventually fade. And it might feel like we're shrinking in a way if we are consolidating and simplifying, but oftentimes taking on less really means that we can do those fewer things with greater attention and effort. To be perfectly honest, I was kind of mad when I saw this aspect. I mean, I knew it was going to be happening in early Virgo season, just given where Saturn is, but it's just like, ugh, we've had all this beautiful, bright, bold, electric energy from Leo season and that wild new moon in Leo that was square Uranus and all of this like shine bright, shine your light, be unique, do the thing that makes you you kind of energy. And then Saturn is like, okay, let's calm down. But it fully makes sense, right? Because expansion follows contraction and contraction follows expansion. And such is the flow of life. It's totally normal that after a time of bigness and boldness and a lot of play and performing, we need a moment to just be like, okay, let me reel this in. Because if I keep going full throttle, I won't be able to sustain this kind of movement. You know, it's very like adult, gotta do my chores type of energy, you know, like We know that playtime and creativity are important, but we also know that we need to clean the house and pay the bills and buy the groceries and make sure we have the type of foundation that allows for more play and more fun in the future. Also, on August 27th at 9:20 a.m., Mars will move into Libra. Mars will be in Libra from August 27th until October 12th. And this is Mars in its place of detriment. Mars in a sign that is all the way across the zodiac from its home in Aries. And this, anytime a planet is in detriment, it can mean things like limitations, restrictions, challenges, delays, instability, and uncertainty. And we will likely feel those effects around not only our Libra house topics, but also our Aries and Scorpio house topics, since those are the signs that Mars rules. Mars in detriment essentially has a harder time doing Mars things in Marsy ways. Planets in detriment can feel unsettling and agitating and sort of less reliable than usual. There can be tensions and frustrations and flare-ups. You know, these planets aren't as well resourced, and so they have to work a little harder to take advantage of opportunities or to find a sense of stability. And this is the kind of placement that typically helps us to think outside the box, to challenge the status quo, and to question accepted norms, because these planets aren't operating under a business as usual type of routine. You know, things aren't as easy for them, so they've had to learn to be a little creative. They have to figure out ways around things and come up with unique solutions. So a planet in detriment can help us to be creative and innovative in that way, but it can also bring some feelings of isolation and being separate from the group. So it's also an area where we might build a certain level of resilience. Now, some of that information is going to be more relevant if you have a natal planet in detriment, but these are still themes and energies that Mars will be navigating while in Libra. So Mars in Libra can have difficulty asserting itself, saying what it wants or what it doesn't want. It might overcompromise to please others. And it can be a really good time, a really good transit to reflect on how much you compromise, in what ways you make compromises, because compromise isn't bad, right? It's a necessary part of relationships, but it can also be really helpful to recognize when we are sort of tipping that scale in one direction and work to rebalance things. And as someone with Mars in Libra myself, I can tell you that it is very healing to get out of that space of working to make others comfortable and look for a balance in that regard. You know, like using the Mars courage to speak up and stand up for yourself in relationships. Because, you know, if you're the one constantly giving, you are inadvertently taking away the other person's chance to give. Mars in Libra can be a very indecisive energy as well, because Mars is such a direct energy. It's such a decisive and just let's decide and do type of planet. But in Libra, it will often struggle. And that's because Libra is so much about trying to find balance and equilibrium. And so suddenly Mars is faced with having to consider a different perspective, consider a different point of view. And again, I can tell you firsthand that there are certain decisions I absolutely fucking hate having to make. And I can get really caught up in the balancing act of it all. It's like, well, I could do this and that would be really good in this way, but not so great in this other way. But I could also do this, which would be great for this, but terrible for this. And sometimes I just make other people make the decisions for me, which also isn't great, right? And takes away from my own ability to assert. But it also means that there are things in life where I've spent a lot of time in consideration. I've spent a lot of time doing mental gymnastics, and I know for sure what the most advantageous outcome will be. Now, Mars is a planet that wants to get things done on its own schedule. But in Libra,
Mars must contend with the other. And the fact that sometimes collaboration is what supports action. And that's very much a key to Mars, the Mars in Libra transit, is that working with others will support the actions that we want to take. You know, we need to work with others in order to accomplish certain things, which naturally means that we're negotiating and debating and hearing different points of view and making sure decisions are equitable for all parties, instead of just saying, I want to do this and then doing it, which is what Mars would like to do. And this does sort of feel like an extension of some of the themes we've been navigating with the Venus retrograde. Libra is ruled by Venus, but also the unfolding with the nodes in Aries and Libra. You know, this navigation of self versus other, of independence versus partnership, and the idea that it's not always easy to be in relationship. There are struggles that naturally come along with being in connection. You know, allowing ourselves to depend on others can feel very vulnerable, and Mars would very much prefer to not have vulnerabilities. And so I think there's an invitation with Mars in Libra to explore and discover the strength of being in connection. I think Mars in Libra is solidarity, which isn't always easy, right? Now, Libra is an air sign, so information, interaction, the sharing of ideas, networking, socializing, these air sign themes are what will really be fueling our motivation while Mars is in Libra. And speaking of the air element of it all, we also want to watch out for anxiety, mental stress, and burnout while Mars is in an air sign. We dealt with that a lot while Mars was in Gemini. It's a little less buzzy and frenetic with Libra, but it's still there. This can be like Mars in an air sign in general can just be very agitating to our mindset and our mental space. Another very Mars in Libra theme is fighting for equality, fighting for those who are ignored, looking to right imbalances and bring justice to those who have been treated unfairly. And it can be really easy, or at least easier, to get frustrated and angry when things don't feel fair, when things don't feel equitable. And I'm really curious to see what impact this might have on the writers and actors strike, like how spicy are things going to get? Things might get a little bit louder on that front. Maybe we'll see other people coming in, like other groups coming in to fight alongside. We have already seen a little bit of that, but maybe things are about to get louder. And obviously, solidarity with the writers and the actors. Just saying. Now, in our personal lives, when we feel this anger and frustration, it might be a clue that there's an issue we need to speak our minds about. Like maybe we need to stick up for ourselves or for someone who can't necessarily speak for themselves. And this transit is also a time when we can really re-energize the topics and relationships within our Libra houses. Mars is still bringing its energy and its fire and its enthusiasm and its drive to that area of life. And we can use that boost of momentum, even if it's not as boosty as we'd typically get from Mars, but we can still use it to get things moving. We can still take action in this area of life. We just need to remember that being in connection will be incredibly supportive for that action. Then on August 28th at 10:40 a.m., Uranus will station retrograde at 23 degrees. Uranus will be retrograde throughout the rest of 2023. That's totally normal. The outer planets are retrograde every year for about 5 to 6 months. And it's going to roll back through to 19 degrees of Taurus. So if you have planets or angles anywhere from 23 degrees to 19 degrees of Taurus, or of Leo, Scorpio, or Aquarius, then this retrograde cycle will be much more relevant to you. And if you have planets or angles at 23 degrees specifically of those signs, especially Taurus, then the day of the station, August 28th, will be, you know, quite potent for you. It's not that the rest of us won't feel any effects from this, but It's typically a more like subtle background noise when the outer planets station and don't trigger anything natally for us. They just sort of, it's there, but it's not as front and center. Now, as with all Uranus transits, themes of authenticity and autonomy are at the forefront, and Uranus will still bring its surprising and change-making and experimental qualities to its encounters while retrograde. But for the next little while, that's going to be in relation to things we've already been navigating, you know, the revisiting and the revising aspect that is part and parcel for all retrogrades is also very much present here. So we're going back to the projects and conversations and relationships and ways of life within the realm of our Taurus houses that have been navigating Uranus's push for liberation and innovation and pattern breaking. The areas where we've already begun to make the changes, to increase the freedom and authenticity, where we've started to break away from societal pressures and expectations, you know, this is now a period of time when we reassess how all that's going in those areas. What needs reworking, if anything? It's kind of a chance to double down on the changes that you've been making and ensure that they're really going to last the test of time. Now, I think we should always be prepared for a shift in thinking and for some flexibility and to make room for the unexpected anytime that Uranus is in the mix. And again, that's going to be more potent for anyone getting those natal placements triggered by this retrograde transit. But also for our Venus retrograde story, because Venus and Uranus will meet once more in a square aspect in late September, this time with Venus moving direct and Uranus moving retrograde, which is really fascinating to me when I think about like this entire series of squares. So we had the first hit with Venus square Uranus when Venus was moving direct, moving towards Uranus, and then moving a little bit past that square. And then the second hit was Venus, while retrograde, sort of like needing to come back for something, needing to move back towards Uranus to have that second act, have that second meeting and figure something out. And then it went back even further. It had to journey even further backwards. And now this third hit, this third and final square in the series, both planets are actually moving towards each other. They're in pursuit of each other because it's not just Venus moving towards Uranus, but Uranus is actually now backing up to meet with Venus too. So there's something really beautiful in that of them like coming together in this way for the final act. It's a real cohesive and lasting connection being made, a powerful culmination to the story overall. But now I'm getting into that aspect, and that is for another day. We will talk about that at another time, but I had to bring it up because it's definitely part of this retrograde. So yeah, Uranus retrograde, reflecting on things like what is worth sacrificing for more freedom. Where are we willing to let go of certain securities so that we might have more flexibility? What is the cost of individuality and authenticity? And are we willing to pay for it? And how are we willing to pay for it? And then finally, August 30th at 9:35 p.m., we have the Pisces full moon at 7 degrees, our second full moon of the month. These full moons are really bookending August. It's kind of beautiful. A full moon can be about release and letting go. The moon is full, so it's abundant. And if we imagine like a tree that is full of ripe fruit, that fruit needs to be harvested so the cycle can continue. And when fruit is ready to be harvested, it typically comes off of the tree with ease. And I think there's a mirroring of that here with a full moon in Pisces specifically, since this is the last sign of the zodiac. This is a peak point of the current lunar cycle, but it's also a culmination in a larger year-round cycle. Full moons in water signs tend to be full of emotional release in particular. They can be very cathartic and healing, but also very sensitive and tender. So we might be feeling a little extra vulnerable or taking things more to heart. We could be more easily overwhelmed. So it's a good day and a good sort of 48-hour period to make space for restorative and relaxing practices. This is also a very inspired and creative full moon. We might be feeling a really strong pull towards deep cravings and longings. So allowing ourselves the opportunity to daydream and tune in with our imaginative and mystical spaces can, you know, maybe help to ease all of the overwhelm. Now, this specific Pisces full moon is maybe going to be part of a larger story involving Saturn's transit through Pisces. The moon is separating from a conjunction with Saturn and is only about 4 degrees away from Saturn at the time of the full moon. But not only that, 7 degrees of Pisces is where Saturn first stationed retrograde back in June. So I wonder if there's going to be some kind of revelation around something that came up in the mid part of June, or an illumination in general as to what Saturn in Pisces is really offering us, you know, whether that's individually or collectively or both. The full moon can sometimes bring a lot of clarity to a situation. We don't necessarily get the full picture or all of the answers, but we can get some information that helps us to move forward with a more nuanced understanding of what we're going through. And with the moon being relatively close to Saturn itself, the revelation might be a little bit of a reality check, something we're in the process of coming to terms with. Maybe it has something to do with information we gleaned while the sun was in opposition with Saturn earlier this week, and now we can come into a space where we can tend to that in a more emotional manner, where we can take some steps towards feeling into and healing around all of that. Or maybe it's a larger realization from Saturn and Pisces overall, but I see this full moon as being able to take the very practical and kind of unyielding nature of what we receive from Saturn and give it some bend, give it some flow, allowing it to be more fully integrated with the body, the emotional body. You know, taking some of the fear and worry that Saturn can churn up for us and actually acknowledging it, really tending to it, because sometimes just admitting that we have a fear or a worry is enough to reassure ourselves that we're listening and we care. This lunation is ruled by Jupiter, though, which is enjoying itself over in Taurus, and that also means that the moon is applying to a cute little sextile with Jupiter. So I think this brings a good dose of optimism and hope and even some luck to the mix. I think the overall outcome of this full moon is positive. We might get a bit of harsh clarity, but it's the kind of harsh clarity that helps us to finally let go of something that was really only holding us back, you know, some fruit that was taking up too much space and not allowing for new growth. And so we get this nice catharsis and release, and then we can see all of the possibilities that still lie ahead. And with Jupiter as the ruler and currently moving super slow, having reached the degree it's going to station retrograde at, slowing down, coming into the body, getting grounded in the present moment, remembering that we can still expand by rooting down and in, all of those things may help to anchor you should the big feelings of this full moon just get to be too much. Because it might be a handful. Pisces is water without boundaries, and Saturn brings a heaviness. So that's just a lot to navigate. So when needed, just really try to anchor back into those possibilities with Jupiter and Taurus. And depending on your location, you might actually be able to see Saturn alongside this full moon, which I think is pretty cool. It's going to be fairly visible while the moon is in Pisces, and then especially once it's full and separating away from it. So get outside, take a look. Again, this is happening at 9:35 p.m. Eastern, so hopefully we'll all be able to catch a little glimpse. Okay, gang, that's all I've got for the month of August. Let me know in the comments if you have any questions about this week's forecast or any of the forecasts from this month. I'd love to know how Virgo season is going for you so far, or what you're going to do to celebrate this full moon in Pisces. Make sure you drop a comment below if you're listening on YouTube, or send me a DM on Instagram at Jasmine's Astrology. And thank you all so much for listening. I am so grateful that you spend some time with me every week. And until we meet again, I'll catch you in the cosmos.